All right. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 this morning. And we're just glad to be here. So if you're excited to be here this morning, would you say amen this morning? Wonderful, wonderful. Man, you got good. All right. Everybody else over there, wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for the special music. Wonderful blessing this morning. But we're in John chapter 20 this morning, and this is Resurrection Sunday, where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're going to read John chapter 20 here in just a few moments about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're going to pull some lessons from that. And what I'm excited about this morning is just to be able to be here, to be outside. There's two places I love to be. I love to be preaching, and number two, I love to be outside. So it's great to be preaching outside. I feel like I'm on the mission field here, because if you're going on a missions trip, this is what you do. You end up going out there, and you end up, preaching outside, preaching through a bullhorn or things like that. But this is very exciting for me. Also, you know I like to roam around. I got a whole parking lot now. So I might roam around a little bit. I'm going to try and stay here where everybody can see me. But I might roam around a little bit here as well. I won't come up to your car. I promise I won't preach on your front bumper. Okay, I'll try not to do that this morning. But John chapter 20, I think this is the most miraculous moment. There are many miraculous moments recorded in the Word of God. We know the virgin birth, the birth of Jesus Christ was a miracle. We see the miracle of creation. We see the miracle of Elijah's days, Elisha. We see the miracles of Moses that God wrought. We see miracles all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. But the resurrection, in my opinion, is the most exciting and the most meaningful miracle that ever happened in the history of mankind. In that, Jesus, who was killed and murdered and hung upon a cross, an old rugged cross, he suffered and he bled and he died. And then he rose again. But we're going to look at the setting a little bit here for just a moment in John chapter 20. But first we're going to read John chapter 20, beginning in verse number 1. We're going to read all the way down through verse number 16 this morning. John chapter 20, verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved. And by the way, that was John, the author of this book. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. She saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And this morning we're going to look at this account, and we're going to look at three different people and three different lessons that we can learn from this passage this morning. But first, let's ask the Lord's blessing in prayer. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory today. We give you all the glory for your resurrection. We give you all the glory for what you have wrought here today so far. And Lord, we expect dear Lord, to work in hearts. We know that you can. I know that you can. I know that I can do nothing of myself. But Lord, it is all you. I pray that you give me clarity of thought, that you would help the internet stream to work properly and also the sound system to work properly this morning. We're so thankful that it's worked so wonderfully already, and we give you the praise and the glory for that. We don't magnify our own intelligence or our own ingenuity, Lord. We thank you for it. We pray that you will bless our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before we continue, I want us to look at the setting. So now we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus rose again. But let's go back in time. Let's go back 2,000 years ago. And let's think about what the disciples were feeling and thinking for a few moments. And maybe go back in your mind's eye and to think for a minute what was going on. Now, we know the end of the story, and we know we look at these people and we look at those that doubt, and we ask the question, why in the world did they doubt? Because we have the Bible. We have the end of the story. But what was going on in the disciples' minds and hearts that day? Now, from all that we know and from what we see from the Word of God, and we see from them, is that they were grieving. They were devastated. He who was the very Son of God, the Messiah, the Chosen One, the Sent One, came and lived among them, and they were following Him, and they loved Him. And we see that John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, had an extra special relationship with Him. And now they had seen their first ball in the garden. They had seen one of their own betray Him. They had seen Jesus tried. They had seen Jesus beaten. They had seen Jesus falsely accused. They had seen all of this, and then they saw Jesus hung upon that cross by Roman executioners, and they watched their Savior die. And they were confused. They were disillusioned. They were discouraged. They thought all of their hope was gone. They thought everything was completely shattered. Everything that they had expected, everything that they had hoped, taking away their sin, all of that, they thought it was all lost. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They thought that the way must have been a dead end, and that the truth must have been a lie, and that the life had been snuffed out, that the light of the world that He had said, I am the light of the world, they thought that that light had gone dark, and all they knew was darkness and grief, and they were confused, and they did not know what to do. But we ask the question, well, didn't they know that Jesus was going to rise again? He told them over and over again, yes, He did. But I don't, you know, sometimes people are kind of hard on the disciples, amen? They're kind of hard on them. And so, well, why didn't they figure this out? They did not have the New Testament. They had the Old, they didn't have the New Testament. And guess what? If you had been in that situation, you would have been just as discouraged as they were. You would have been just as disillusioned, would have been just as discouraged. And now they were going, they had buried Jesus in the tomb. They had, it was on Friday, right before Sabbath, they had buried Him, and they had laid Him in the tomb. Now, we see that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, mother of James, they were coming back, and they were to anoint the body with the frankincense and the myrrh and the spices that were used in embalming because it was not completed. An interesting thing that I want you to pay attention to, look back at Mark chapter 15. Now, the crucifixion and the resurrection are in all four of the Gospels. It's one of the few accounts in the resurrection that are in all four. But look at Mark chapter 15, and I want us to pay attention to a detail here that was very important. The last verse of chapter 15, of Mark chapter 15, we see that Mary Magdalene and the others, Mark 15, last verse here. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where He was laid. They saw the tomb. They saw Him placed in there. And we know that Pilate had put a great and mighty stone. They had big round stones that they would roll. They think of like a cheese wedge on its side. They would roll it in front of that. And also they sealed it with a wax seal. And He put guards there because the Pharisees were concerned that someone would try and come and steal the body of Christ and would say that He rose again. Interesting how those who had put Him on the cross knew that He claimed that He was going to rise again. But the disciples were discouraged. And this morning we see that turn back to John chapter 20, is that some people ask the question, well, we celebrate Easter, Easter, the Resurrection Sunday. Why do we celebrate that? But first off, some people have this question. Why did Jesus have to die in the first place? Why did Jesus have to die? And I'm just going to answer that question very simply this morning. Jesus died for you and for me. And I said, well, what does that mean? Because every single person here this morning, every single person that lives on the face of the earth, has ever lived since the Garden of Eden, has had a terrible problem, and that problem is called sin. We see in the garden that God gave Adam and Eve a one simple commandment: don't eat of this particular tree. One command of thou shalt not. He gave them a lot of things that they could do, a lot of things that they were allowed to do, and they had everything they could, their heart could desire, but they were told one thing they weren't allowed to have, and the devil came in and tempted them. And isn't that the same today? The one thing that we know we're not supposed to have, that's exactly what the devil tempts us with, and many times can defeat us with. But ever since that time, ever since Adam took the bite of that apple, notice it didn't say Eve. Eve was deceived. Adam was not. And it was Adam's responsibility. And Romans tells us that by the sin of one man, that's Adam, death passed upon all men. But by the death of one, Jesus Christ, all might live. And we're excited to be able to talk about that. But do we understand that there is a problem with sin? I think most of us here today, I'm not going to say everyone because I don't know what's in hearts, but I pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because when we come to the realization that we have a problem with sin and that we have a life that is sinful, and we know that God has said in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know we hear a lot that people are good. Well, we're really good people on the inside. And there's a goodness and there's a spark of goodness in every man. That could be no more false than anything else. Look at the Bible. Jeremiah tells us that our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? And because of that sin, because God is high and holy, because God is perfect and without sin, and I'll just pause for a moment. You know what's exciting about preaching outside? I wonder if Jesus is going to come back right now. Amen? You know, and this would be great. We're all ready. Amen? For him to come back. But getting back to the message here, that because of sin, there is a penalty for sin. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, the first part of the verse. The wages of sin. What we have earned is a penalty, and that penalty is not only physical death, but also Revelation 20 and Revelation 21 talk about the lake of fire that is a literal and burning hell. That is the second death. That is what the penalty for sin is. If you die without Jesus Christ this morning, if you get the coronavirus and pass away and you die without Christ, you will find yourself in a real and literal and burning hell this morning. And by the way, getting saved and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior is not what many people claim it to be. It is not just saying, well, I believe in Jesus. I'm here on Resurrection Sunday. I'm listening by way of the live stream. I'm here in the parking lot. I believe in Jesus. That's great. The devils also believe and tremble, the Bible says. A lot of people believe in Jesus. I would say most people do believe in Jesus, either as a historical figure or as a literal person or even as the Son of God, that they believe that He is the Son of God. They may even believe that He came and He bled and He suffered and died for the sins of the whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son to die as the special we just heard a little while ago. Born to die. Jesus came, was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life, did not sin one time, and He came for the sole purpose of dying on the cross to pay sin's penalty. The sins that we have committed, every sin, every lie, every dirty thought, every possible conceivable sin in our life that we have committed, Jesus paid for it on that cross. That doesn't make sin look too good, does it? Sin is not a pretty thing. When you look at the crucifixion, we don't have time to go through the crucifixion this morning, but we look at the crucifixion and we look at the death of Christ, all that He endured, the darkness, His Father turning His back on His only begotten Son because He was black with our sin, with my shame and your sin and your filthiness. He bore it all in the sin of the whole world on that cross. And He paid the penalty for sin. That penalty that we deserve to endure, He endured it on that cross. Why? Because He loved you. And He still loves you. He loves you. He died for you. God loves you. Don't ever anybody think that God doesn't love you, that God hates you. That's a lie of the devil. God loves you. God cares about you. He loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. And there needs to become a change of mind, because many times about our sin, we see it as a problem, but we don't see it as a fatal problem. We see it as an inconvenience. Yeah, I sin, I understand that, and I do some things wrong, but you know what? I'm still okay. Not according to the Bible. You're not okay. You're not okay. You're not, according to God's word, in a position to say, well, I'm okay. We have to understand that our sin is going to send us to a literal hell, because that's what we justly deserve. We don't deserve money in this life. We don't deserve the grace and mercy of God, but it was the mercy and grace of God that sent Jesus to die for us. He died in our place. I have a question this morning. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your literal and personal Savior this morning? The only Savior. Now, some people say, well, I got saved. I went to church and I joined the church and I got saved. That's not salvation. That's not trusting Christ. What are you having faith in? What are you depending on the church to save you? Well, I got baptized, Pastor. I got baptized and I'm doing good. And I got baptized. I got christened when I was a baby. Well, the Bible doesn't say that we get christened as a baby. The Bible says we get baptized after we're saved. The Bible does say that. You need to be old enough to understand what salvation is, and then that's how we are baptized. But if you're trusting in that, then you're trusting in, you're depending on the baptism, or you're depending on the water, or on the command to do it, and that's not trusting in Jesus Christ. So, well, I'm trusting in my goodness, and you're trusting and depending on yourself to get you to heaven. And guess what? If you could depend on yourself to get to heaven, then Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. If we could depend on ourselves, if we could depend on any of these things, Jesus didn't have to die. But Jesus died because we are incapable of getting to heaven ourselves. And trusting Jesus Christ, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means a change of mind, having repentance over your sin, knowing what your sin is doing to you and having a change of mind. I don't want to be on that path. It's fitting that we're in cars today and that you're on a dead-end street. It's going over a cliff, and that's, if you're lost, that's where you're going today. But changing your mind and trusting Christ and having repentance is stopping the car, turning around and said, I am trusting Jesus, and going, taking the fork in the road, that is to Jesus Christ, and depending wholly on Him, not on yourself. It's trusting Him and depending on Him 100% to save you from your sin. And this morning, as a testimony, is if you have done that and you have trusted Jesus Christ and you know it this morning, would you give a praise that I know I'm saved on my way to heaven this morning? Would you say amen this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. He died. But there is another part of this. There is the resurrection. And through the resurrection of Christ, we see that we have so many wonderful things. And this morning, I want us to grab a hold of a couple of these things as we go through. You know, we're in a very challenging time in our country right now. We're going through a very challenging time as a church. We're going challenging time personally, as personal people. And maybe some are having more challenges than others. But you know what? We don't need to be defeated during this time. We don't need to be discouraged. We need to be expecting God to do something great and wonderful, and I believe that He is. And this morning, as we look at John chapter 20 once again, we see that there's three people here that we have seen mentioned that I'm going to point out here in John chapter 20. You know what? I'm going to put my pulpit like this, and then maybe my pages won't blow as much. But John chapter 20 here. This is why I memorized my message, because I knew my notes weren't going to work. I knew this wasn't going to work. But John chapter 20 here. And so we see that there was something that happened. We see that when they came back, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, that they looked and they saw something. When they got to the tomb, they saw that the stone was rolled away. If you look at Matthew 28, and you see that what had happened is that with a great earthquake, an angel came from heaven and he rolled back that stone to, and by the way, they didn't roll that stone out to let Jesus out. He was already gone. They rolled that stone back so people could see that he was gone. That's why that stone was rolled away. And so he rolled that stone away, and we see here in verse verse number 1, we see they see the stone taken away from the sepulcher. In other passages, it says that he is not here. He is risen. You're looking for him in the wrong place. He's not here. He's risen from the dead. And you would think, well, that's an exciting, and they would be excited about it, but they ran and told Peter and John. We see that in verse number 2. And so we want to look at first two people, Peter and John. And they ran toward the sepulcher, and John outran Peter. They were running. They wanted to see. And we see here, we see some, verse number 3, that John outran him, came to the sepulcher, but he didn't go in. Then Peter goes in. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he stooped down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, this is important, and believed. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. I want to take a look at Peter and John. And so I'm talking to Christians this morning. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ, I pray that you will trust him this morning. But this morning, many of us are saved here this morning. And what is the message during this time? What is the message of the resurrection? Well, the message of the resurrection is victory over the plans of the devil. Yes, we understand that Jesus died upon the cross as the plan of God, but the devil really thought he had won. He tried everything from the beginning of Christ's life to the end to destroy Jesus Christ. He tried to use Herod to kill Jesus as a baby. He tried to tempt Jesus to sin so he couldn't be the Savior. All through the life of Jesus, he knew the power of the sacrificial Lamb of God, and he knew that Jesus could save mankind, and he really thought that he had won at that time. And the Pharisees sure thought they had won. They thought that they had finally defeated him, and you find out actually halfway through Jesus' ministry, they were plotting to kill him. They wanted to destroy him because he was against everything that they stood for, their self-sufficiency, their self-righteousness, and their work salvation. He was telling them they needed to trust in Jehovah God and trust in his Messiah, who was himself Jesus, the Son of God. But we see that during this resurrection, even though Jesus had told them, even though Jesus had told them that he was going to rise again, they ran there, and John and Peter, and we see the first disciple, we see John that arrived there, and we see Peter. But Peter went in, and we don't have recorded a reaction of Peter. It seems that Peter was conflicted. He wanted to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, but he was also perhaps thinking that this was some sort of trick. He was confused. He wasn't sure. But then we see John, who had a very special relationship with Jesus Christ. He saw it. He had a very, perhaps, we most people think he had the closest relationship of any disciples. Though Peter was the leader, John had the closest relationship with Jesus. At the Last Supper, John was laying on the chest of Jesus, and he had that very close and intimate relationship, and he believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, I want us to think for a moment. I'm walking. I want us to think for just a few moments. Wouldn't that, you're in that position, and you're not really sure if Jesus rose from the dead. We know he did. It's recorded in the Word of God. We believe it. But put yourself in John and Peter's shoes. Put yourself in that situation. They thought maybe it was some sort of trick that someone had stolen his body. That's what Mary Magdalene thought. But know that they came, and Peter was confused. He wanted to believe, but something was holding him back. You always see Peter, there's always something kind of holding him back a little bit every single time. He steps out there, something holds him back a little bit. But then John, he believed, and don't you think that gave him great hope? Amen? Don't you think that gave him great hope? And that all that had gone on before, now the darkness had lifted, and that Jesus was risen, that Jesus had had victory over death, that Jesus had victory over sin, and that he was alive. I mean, I think that would be an exciting time, don't you? Don't you think that he would have been excited about it? And we see that later on that they were very excited about it, but there were some doubts there. This was so miraculous, so out of their experience. They had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They had seen Jesus perform miracles, but they thought when Jesus died on that cross that all the power of God had died with him. And here, as I just want to say something, that many times as Christian people, we trust in the Savior of the cross, but many times we don't live in light of the resurrection of Christ. We don't live a life that is in light of that resurrection, a life of victory, a life of joy, a life of hope. You know, there is hope in the world today, and you won't find it in Bill Gates. Amen? You're not going to find it in President Trump, though he is a great leader. We thank God for him. But the hope of America and the hope of the world is not in any one person on this planet. Our hope is in Jesus Christ because he rose from the dead. But then we see another person. We see Mary. Let's look. Continue reading here. In verse number 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Now just pause for a moment. Isn't that amazing? That God sent messengers to Mary. They weren't there for Peter and John, but they were there for Mary when she stooped in and she looked in. There were two angels there, and they were encouraging her. They were assuring her that it was really true that Jesus had risen from the dead. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not it was Jesus. A messenger from God had told her, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? He is risen. He's not here. But she was so stricken with her grief, she was so filled with doubt, that she couldn't even see a message from God. You know, some Christians are like that. There are some of you out there, some of you are Peters, that you're kind of, well, I want to believe, I want to trust Christ for my living daily with him. I want to trust him for the power for victory over sin, but I'm not really sure. You have a lot of self-doubt. Some of you are like John, said, praise God, amen, hallelujah. He, Jesus, rose from the dead, and he has given victorious life, amen. But some of you are like Mary, and unfortunately we see more people like this than not, is that they doubt that Jesus can really save them. Some people are like that. They doubt that Jesus can save them from their sin. Some people doubt that you're saved, but you doubt that God can give you victory. You doubt that really Jesus can help you overcome that besetting sin. You doubt that God can heal you from bitterness, that God can heal you from anger, that God can heal you from anything. You have that doubt, and you doubt, and you doubt. And if you doubt, then you're just like Mary, because you're not trusting in and depending upon the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, not only Jesus paid for our sin, but in the resurrection, he gave us eternal life. In the resurrection, he gave us victory over sin. The chains and the bondage of the grave and of sin, all of it was broken when Jesus rose from the dead. It's okay, Pastor, what are you trying to say? So this is where it comes for us today. What kind of Christian are you in this area? What kind of... Let's see, I had my notes. I think they flew away. But what does that mean for us? It means, are you living the resurrection life today? Are you living a life that has been put into Christ? We looked at revival time, and we had revival last week, and the week before, we're blessed by that. But really this morning, in light of the resurrection, if you think about that, if you think about depending on Christ daily for what you need. And by the way, we went over this. It's not about you doing better. It's not about you doing your best and God helps you the rest of the way. Brother Bosler had the great illustration of pushing the car. Have you been pushing the car and you haven't made a decision? Hopefully you have. And a lot of you, it's already made that decision. I'm praising God for that. But you know what? During this time, this is a concerning time. I'm not diminishing the opportunity, the burden that is in people's lives, and people are concerned. But unfortunately, we should not let this time defeat us as Christian people. Amen. We should not let this defeat us. This is a time where we need to depend on Jesus. And you know, when everything else goes wrong, you know, it shows that God's going to do something. And you know what? When we grab a hold of this, and really what it is when we trust in the resurrected Savior. So many times we look at the Jesus who hung on the cross and paid for our sin, but he's also the Jesus that rose from the dead. And the one that rose from the dead, he has victory. He has more than overcome, and we are more than overcomers because we are joint heirs with him. And so this morning, is there something that you are defeated in? Maybe you're discouraged about your life. Maybe you think that, I just can't do anything for God because I'm worthless. Disarm that lie of the devil. It is a complete and total lie. God is wanting to use your life. He said, well, I can't sow win because I'm just not good at it. That is a lie of the devil. It is not true. It is something the devil wants to use to defeat you. If we get a hold of the hope that is in Christ and salvation, but also get a hold of the hope that is in the resurrected life, we can't help but share that hope with other people. The Christian life is not about doing better. The Christian life is not about, well, we just got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and go out and win souls. Has nothing to do with it. Has everything to do with trusting everything to Christ and depending on him for our daily life. As a pastor, we've been hearing a lot about that. Well, this morning I wanted to share with you that what kind of Christian are we? Are we ones like John that believe and trust? And guess what? John was joyful. I wonder if John was trying to talk to the other disciples. And I say, well, I don't know. I said, come on! You know, don't you see that he rose from the dead just like he said he was going to? It's really true. He is alive. But then Jesus appeared to Mary. And Mary was so stricken with doubt and grief and anguish. She was overwhelmed. She was so overwhelmed that she couldn't even see Jesus standing right in front of her. She was so overwhelmed and discouraged. And this morning, many times, maybe we're overwhelmed with sin, we're overwhelmed with emotions or whatever it may be. You're overwhelmed with something in your life. Maybe it's a financial crisis you have in your life. And you're so overwhelmed and you keep praying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I need help. Jesus is standing right in front of you. And many, you know what got Mary's attention? What got Mary's attention is Jesus very tenderly said, Mary. And you know what? Many times what breaks through all of that worry, all of that anxiety, all of that being overwhelmed, all of that sin is Jesus tenderly saying our name, tenderly reaching and touching our heart, and that he is here. And then when she saw Jesus, she believed. She believed. And then, don't you think she was joyful? We see later, she ran back and she told them. Well, let's continue reading. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. And then later on the day that Jesus appeared to them and gave them that assurance that he had risen from the dead. But we know Thomas wasn't there. Thomas doubted. Don't be the doubting Christian. Don't be the one, well, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, you're not going to see it then because we need to believe by faith. That's what faith is. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But this morning, I am convinced that we have great things ahead. I'm depending on the Lord, and I know the Lord has great things ahead for Tabernacle Baptist Church. During this time, it's a bit of a bump in the road for us, but we're still ministering. We're still seeing God work. Amen. We're meeting here in the parking lot, but once again, in a few months or a few weeks, however long it is, the COVID-19 disaster will be a distant memory. We'll be back to normal. And now it's easy to depend on God because we have a crisis. But what about when things are going well? What about when things are going easy? Are we going to still depend on the Lord? Are we still going to depend on him? He is going to bring us through. But as a church, I'm really convinced here that God has hit the reset button on our church in a big way, and I'm thankful for that. And that with this, I know I've shared some of it, but I'm just going to be real honest with you here, that I live the Christian life pushing the car. I live the Christian life being busy, being in ministry, burning the candle at both ends, and doing it all and getting it all done. And you know what? We need the programs and all of that. Nothing wrong with those things, by the way. But when you're doing it yourself, it becomes a problem. And we saw results and we saw some things and we saw God do wonderful things. But at the same time, at least for me, I was doing a lot of my own strength. I didn't understand what we are looking at today. I didn't understand living in the resurrected life as I needed to. Pastor Harvey knew. Pastor Mrs. Harvey knows. I think many of our older generation knows, but I'm afraid to say not many of my generation knows. I'm thankful that God sent Brother Bosler, and remember that these things are not, they're doctrines of the Bible and things that we believe and we know, they're nothing new, but when we look at them and we see them, we understand them, it's just like there's a joy and a hope, and the burden lifts off that I don't have to live the Christian life on my own. So this morning, I just want to encourage you this morning, live the resurrected life, depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Bosler made some very important point, not to be passive. It's like, well, I'm just going to let the Lord make me do it. No, that's not it. You go forward in the power of the Lord, do the Lord's will, but depend on Him, and He'll bring the increase. I know God is going to change our church in this morning. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You do not have Christ living in your heart. You do not have Christ in you because you've never trusted Him as your Savior. I would invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm here. I'd love to talk to you after the service if you have a question about that. I know it's kind of different when we're in our cars. But simply this, you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ anytime. There's not a magic prayer to pray. But it must include this, in that you're calling upon God, not trusting yourself, trusting Him completely, asking Him to forgive you for your sin and to give you eternal life. And then the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a Christian here today and you've been kind of wondering about this whole Christian life thing? You've been hearing about it during your Bible time and you say, well, I've got this all under control. I've been living the life that I need to live and everything is just fine. Everything is great. I don't need that. You know, the way I've been living is okay. Well, if you've been depending on the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's fine. But are you going to be the one that doubts whether God can do something in your life? Are you going to be one that doubts whether God can give you victory over sin? Are you going to doubt that God can use you? You know, I want to speak to the young people for a minute. Brother Bosler and I have been talking a lot in the last couple weeks, but you know what? Something that God doesn't call Christian garbage men. So what does that mean? God calls people to serve Him. And so we have a lot of young people that can serve the Lord in a lot of ways, have a lot of gifts, a lot of talents, and guess what? God hasn't called you to be a Christian garbage man. God has called you to be a leader for Him, whether you're a young lady or a young man. I'm just going to say that. If you agree, you can say amen. If you disagree, that's fine. All right. Brother Bosler agrees. There we go. A lot of you agree too. Praise the Lord. You know, we need to understand that. So young people, wherever you are in any of these cars, young adult, God hasn't called you to be a Christian garbage man. Maybe God has you in the secular workforce, and that's fine. But God has called you to serve Him in a special way, and you need to pray and ask the Lord what that is, and He will do it in your life if you depend on Him. Remember, and I've said this many, many times, serving the Lord is not about us. It's about God, us depending on the Lord to do it, to work in our life. He will call you to do things. You can't live the Christian life. You can't serve Him. You can't minister. It's Him in you doing it. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Then we're going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss. I want to thank you all for being here today. I know it's a little bit of a different service. Join us tonight online at 6 o'clock. If you'd like to come to the service in the building at 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to have a regular service time. Though maybe a couple of you come, that's fine. But if you want to stay home and watch online, that is fine as well. Whatever the Lord leads you to do. But we will be having church service tonight at 6 o'clock in the building. So we'll pray that you join us tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. This morning. I thank you for the ability to preach. I thank you for the ability for us to worship together. We thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done. I pray that you would work in hearts. And dear Lord, that I know I haven't been very clear this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would use me in spite of the lack of clarity in some areas, Lord. But I pray that you would bless this message and that it would touch hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful power in Jesus' name. Amen.